seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the 32nd Psalm and verse 7, Psalm 32 and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. Psalm 32 and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. What a wonderful mercy it was to dear David that the Lord had wonderfully prepared for him a hiding place, and that he has prepared a hiding place for every one of his dear children. And that wonderful provision is no other than the dear Lord Jesus himself, whom God the Father gave, and how willing Jesus was to be the hiding place for sinners. And the more we know of this blessed hiding place, the more precious it will become to us. You know, how could dear Peter say unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. And oh, what a mercy it is in this dark and solemn place that every true-born child of God has a precious hiding place where they can hide, where they can shelter, where they can resort in every time of storms, of trouble, affliction and distress. So he says, thou art my hiding place. And you know, the Lord will bring us into places where we shall so need this hiding place. One's mind particularly goes to the children of Israel, when the destroying angel went forth in Egypt. Where could they hide? The only place of safety, the only place they could hide from that destroying angel that went forth, was under the blood that was on the lintel and doorposts of those houses. And what did the Lord say? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And you see, they were so secure there, weren't they? In that blessed hiding place, sheltering under the precious blood. And oh, that we may be sheltering under the precious blood of Jesus today. A wonderful place of refuge, a refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. Well, much could be said concerning this blessed hiding place. And oh, may we ever be seeking to abide in it, to dwell there. You see, a hiding place must be entered into, mustn't it? No use looking at the outside of it. The professors, and I speak this with much reverence, professors of religion and man generally, and while the Saviour was here upon the earth, they looked at the exterior, but they knew nothing of what it was for the dear Redeemer to be their hiding place. But you know, there were those that knew it. Think of dear Mary Magdalene, how in her troubles she had to hide in the Saviour and in his precious blood. Think of the dear disciples. They knew what it was for him to be their hiding place from all the dangers of Satan, the onslaughts of the enemy. You know, when David was sorely oppressed by Saul, he knew what it was to hide in the Lord. He was his hiding place, and Saul couldn't touch him, could he? And Satan won't better touch these souls. Why? Because all their safety is in him, the dear Redeemer. I want to go further as help with this word. It's a beautiful word, really. Thou art my hiding place. Faith was enabled to say that in the heart of David. It wasn't presumption. You know, it's a terrible sin to presume. And may we ever be kept from it. David was not in a state of presumption here. He says, thou art my hiding place. This was faith laying hold of the dear Redeemer. Thou art my hiding place. He was speaking to the Lord, you see. We need much reverence to speak to the Lord, don't we, in prayer and in supplication. Thou art, he says, to the Lord, my hiding place. And he could truly say that because the Lord had wonderfully favoured him to experience it. So he knew what he said. By experience. And he knew what he said by divine revelation because the Lord had revealed himself to him as his hiding place. And he could set this forth, you see. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. This didn't mean that he would be exempt from trouble. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. But it did mean that the Lord would wonderfully preserve him in the troubles that he had to come through. The troubles weren't going to destroy him. This is the point, really. You know, there are times where we come into such low places, whether it's trouble of circumstance or whether it's trouble of soul, when we fear those troubles will destroy us. But they never will. You think of the case of dear old Jacob when they came to take away Benjamin from him. Joseph had been sold down into Egypt. He did not know whether he was alive or dead or where he was. And then they came to take away Simeon and then Benjamin. And that wasn't all the trouble. They were in great trouble because of the famine in the land. That's what you call real trouble. You know, there are times with the Lord's dear people when they have one trouble and then another trouble and another trouble. All come at the same time. But the Lord has said in his word that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And if you've got a real religion, and I have, we should know what it is to have trouble. But are to be preserved in that trouble. This is what David was enabled to say. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. That didn't mean to say he was exempt. Because We find too in the Word of God that it is through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. And if you go into the Revelations, what does he say there when John saw all those that were redeemed and had come out of great tribulation and had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? But to go back to dear old Jacob, you know, all that trouble, but what did he say in it? All these things are against me. But you look how the Lord preserved him from that trouble. It couldn't destroy him, could it? Now that's the point. It didn't destroy him. It brought him ever so low, but it didn't destroy him, did it? And what a mercy that is, isn't it? Sometimes we feel the trouble will destroy us. But you know, so often the Lord brings us into trouble for divine reasons. One is, it keeps the sinner dependent upon the Lord. Oh, it does. I think of that verse, it keeps flowing into one's mind, so I have to name it. The dear hymn writer said this, did ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou shall overcome at last? And you see in the Revelations we read of those that overcame, don't we? They were preserved from trouble. It didn't destroy them. They overcame it all. And how did they overcome it? They overcame it through their dear Redeemer who had overcome it for them. You think, and I feel it's a good point to set before you really, it comes powerfully to one's spirit. You think of the dear Lord Jesus himself, the troubles he endured. You know, we think we have trouble sometimes that will destroy us, but you think of the dear Redeemer. There's a lot of lessons to be learned in trouble, you know. But you think of him, how he was troubled by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, his own national people, the Jews. He was troubled by Satan, who gave the dear Redeemer no rest. You think of those 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by Satan in the wilderness. That is trouble. We are sometimes tempted for a few hours, a few days, or maybe a month. Maybe more. The Lord's a sovereign. But oh, what a trouble it is, isn't it? And what's Satan trying to do? He's trying to destroy the child of God and destroy the work of God in them. That's what he's trying to do. And you look how he tried to destroy the Lord of life and glory, but he never could, you know. Oh no. He overcame, didn't he? So David says here, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. There may be those of you that may have some trouble today, whether it's in your soul or in your circumstance or maybe in the family. But poor soul, if you've got David's God as your hiding place, that trouble will never destroy you. Oh, it won't. It may bring you ever so low, as I said earlier. And it may cause many cries to go out of your poor heart and mind. What does the hymn writer say? When trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness. Oh, how good. And it is, isn't it? And this is why it won't destroy the child of God, because loving kindness is in it all. Sometimes he brings us into trouble to correct us, to rebuke us. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's a sign of sonship, this correction. Thou shalt preserve me. He was personal, he said, me. It's Lord, it's me. I'm in this trouble. Thou shalt preserve me. From trouble. And these troubles that the child of God has, he will sanctify them, the trouble to them. That is to say, he will make the bitter in it, like we read in that 15th chapter of Exodus. He will make the bitter part of that trouble sweet. But go back to the dear Redeemer, which we tried to name a little of. You see the troubles that he endured. And look at the great trouble when his father hid his face. And oh, you think of the bitter, what he endured. And when you come into these bitter troubles, like the waters of Marah the children of Israel had to partake of, what was the Lord to do? He was to make them feel the bitterness, like you feel it. Now, maybe because of the affliction or because of the onslaught of Satan, but he sanctifies it and he makes the bitter sweet. Look how the Lord told them, Moses, to cast in the tree into the water, and it made the bitter sweet, didn't it? And that's when our troubles are sanctified. The bitter part is made sweet. There's a sweetness in it all. And that sweetness may be the sacred presence of the Lord with us in the trouble. I love that word. I often quote it in prayer. I expect many of you may have observed that. But it's a very sweet word. I remember your late beloved pastor giving it to my uncle when he baptised him. I remember him standing at the pool at Staplehurst and giving him that beautiful word. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, I've never forgot that, you know. It's a wonderful word, I will be with him in trouble. And that's what'll make the bitter sweet in the trouble, you see. The Lord being with us in it. But there's another point, just coupling it to what we have said concerning the dear Lord Jesus. And it's this. You know, as you come into these troubles and you think they're going to destroy you, you think of the great troubles that he endured, the hidings of the Father's face, the wrath of God that he endured as he bore the sins of his dear bride, his church, you and me, if we're among them. Our troubles are nothing compared to his. But there's another sweet point in it, and it's this. He can well sympathise with those that are in trouble. Oh, he can. Why? Because he's known it in far greater measure than ever you and I will ever know trouble. He says, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Trouble. You might say, if only I had faith a bit, but this is what the Lord has said, it's not my word. That seemed very sweet to me when the text came, you see. How David really and truly from his heart could say this. And another reason he could say it was because of this. As he looked back in his life and he could look how the Lord had preserved him from Saul, preserved him from the Philistines, preserved him from Absalom, preserved him from all his enemies. They tried to destroy him. But they couldn't, could they? Just as they tried to take away the life of the Saviour. He said to the enemies that pursued him on one occasion, he said, your time is always at hand, but my time is not yet. You see, the Saviour was to lay down that precious life. They couldn't take it away from him. And they cannot take it away from every true-born child of God. You may say, well, if you go back to the days of the persecution when there was so much trouble and there were many destroyed, we may say their lives at the stake. Could you say they were preserved from trouble? They were, because the Lord took them home to glory. They were preserved from all their trouble, weren't they? You know, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to consider that that was the Lord's means of freeing them from this earth and from all the troubles of it and taking them home to eternal bliss in glory. What an exchange it was, wasn't it? Going back to my late dear uncle, you know, he used to help the old lady at the road and do a little for her. And it was in November. And he went this particular morning, it was a foggy, damp morning, to do a few jobs for this dear lady. And she made him a cup of coffee and she said, I'll bring it out to you. And when she took it out to him, he lay dead by the wheelbarrow. You know, the Lord came suddenly and took him. And I thought, what an exchange, you know. The Sunday he sang at the chapel as he'd never sung before. Several people noticed it. And no doubt it was a wonderful preparation for glory. But what an exchange, you see, from the veil of tears and of trouble, in a moment to be taken to eternal bliss and eternal happiness in glory. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And the Lord preserved him from any more trouble, you see. Oh yes. Wonderful thing, isn't it? The preserving hand of the Lord preserving us from trouble. You must walk through it, poor soul, because it's through much tribulation. But in it the Lord will preserve you. I love that word in the 121st Psalm, and it's a very precious word, really. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Oh, may it be so. Not only are we leaving to preserve our life, we need him to preserve our souls. And we need preserving in our thoughts, don't we? And we need preserving from all evil, and preserving from the onslaughts of Satan. Thy going out and thy coming in. I may have told you before, but I thought about it at Stopfold at the wedding on Friday. I remember a dear man, he's now nearing his journey's end because of his age, but I remember the dear man saying to me that when he was a little boy, whenever they went away to go on holiday or go out for the day, his father always read that 121st Psalm. And he said, I've never forgot it, you know. Particularly those words, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. May the Lord continually preserve us from all evil, from all danger, from all harm. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? The troubles were to keep him down. The troubles were to keep him looking heavenward. The troubles were to make him sick of this earth that he might be fond of the dear Redeemer. But the trouble that he had to pass through was to go forth in praises and songs of praise to the Lord. And what does he say? Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now you know there's a wonderful connection between that second clause and the third. He says, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. The connection is this. He got to come into the trouble for the Lord to deliver him and that he might sing forth the praises of his God. Oh yes. You know, the old preachers used to say, you've got to go down, sinner, to be lifted up. And here David knew both sides. He knew what it was to be in the depths because of trouble. And yet he knew what it was to be compassed about with songs of deliverance. And that is why we read together that 15th chapter in Exodus. The children of Israel had just been wonderfully delivered from the Red Sea and from Pharaoh and all his house. That was a time of great trouble to them. But you look how the Lord preserved them in that trouble. The sea couldn't destroy them, could it? Why? Because the Lord divided it. Pharaoh and his house couldn't destroy them. Because the Lord took the chariot wheels off and caused the sea to return and to destroy them. But what came out of it all? Songs of deliverance. That's a wonderful thing, you know. Something to sing over. Songs of deliverance. And as we read in that 15th chapter this afternoon together, as soon as they were brought out of the Red Sea, Moses and the children of Israel started to sing, didn't they? And we read, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Compassed about. You know, the connection with the first part, he knew what was to be compassed about with trouble, didn't he? But now he was compassed about with songs of deliverance. And the children of Israel. And may we lay this to heart, because not only could Moses sing of the song of deliverance, he was compassed about with all those around him that could sing. Oh, he was. He wasn't in it alone, you say. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. When there are those that are compass us about with these songs, surround us with their songs and with us in the song. He said, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Oh, may we know what it is to be compassed about. You see, this can apply in a family where it's not only the dear parents that sing the song of deliverance, the children, they're all compassed about in it, this song of deliverance. And that seemed to so rest upon me when the text dropped in. That there may be a united song. You see, well, to prove the point, you think of the song in heaven. Really, this was heaven begun below. These songs which David sounded forth, and they were compassed about with songs of deliverance. Heaven begun below. You know, in heaven, the whole throng of those landed in glory are compassed about with songs of deliverance unto him that loved us and washed us in his own heart's blood. To God be the glory. So, you see, this is a taste of heaven begun below. What do we sing in the hymn? It's a wonderful word, really. When this poor lispering, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing his power to save. We often name the three cases in the Word of God where there are those blessed songs of praise go forth, and it won't hurt to name them this afternoon. We have it with the children of Israel at the Red Sea that I've named. That is the first case. They were compassed about with this song of deliverance. What the Lord had done, the wonders that he had wrought. But then, you look in the case of dear Hannah. As soon as the Lord delivered her from her trouble, and it wasn't just one, it was threefold trouble. What did she do? She was compassed about with a song of deliverance. You read that first chapter of the trouble she was in chapter 1, but oh, when you venture into chapter 2, and it's often forgotten how Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." And oh, she sings forth, doesn't she, the praises of her God. And she got something to sing over, didn't she? But of course the third case is the case of Hezekiah. You know, when the Lord delivered him, and there again it was not just one trouble. It wasn't just the troubles of his soul, that was vital. It wasn't just the troubles of the affliction that was upon him. It wasn't just the trouble of the Assyrians that were out to destroy him. It was manifold trouble. But look how the Lord preserved him and brought him out, didn't he? And oh, you think of that blessed song of praise that he sounded forth. And may we know a little of it in our own hearts. What does he say? The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. It's a wonderful word that is, isn't it? The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Oh, how he could sound it forth. And even the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. He says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. But then he says, who will sound forth the praise? The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. And there's another occasion I'll just briefly name before we leave it. But you think in the prophecy of the minor prophets we read of the children of Israel. When they had gone after other lovers, they wandered from the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He brought them into trouble. He brought them back. And what do we read? He says to them this, I will allure you and bring her, allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. That's the valley of trouble. And she shall sing as in the days of her youth. And you know, there's no singing naturally like the days of our youth. When we get older, we haven't the voice or the power or the breath to sing as we did in our youth. And she shall sing as in the days of her youth. And this is what the Lord promised that they would. And they did, you know. And may it be so in this dark and solemn day. You can look back maybe through the year and there'll be this trouble and that trouble. But it hasn't destroyed you, has it? You prove what's in the text. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And you know, in all those cases I've named, the Lord delivered them and they got something to sing over, hadn't they? Well, may it be so with us each. Amen.